And just when you think you've heard the last moral indignation, just a couple weeks ago, another member of the Bush clan, the former chief judge for the second U.S. court in Connecticut, court circuit, John M. Walker. This is the Walkers, the Bush Walker people. He was driving his car in New Haven. We heard a little bit about New Haven before, the home of the Skull and Bones. He was appointed by Ronald Reagan in 85. He's a cousin of George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush. He was driving his car and he hit with his car a policeman who was directing traffic this one evening, killing him, left four kids and a wife. And Judge Walker was not given a blood test or a breathalyzer. They said it wasn't necessary. So what I'm suggesting is one of the problems we have with this current administration is they think they are a monarchy. And we think about the founders of this country, what they thought about monarchies, about George III. I mean, isn't that, you talk about weird, Bush is talking about fuzzy math all the time. How do you go from George III to George I to George II? But we managed to do it. But they think of themselves as a monarchy. It's totally anti-American. Their mere presence in the nation's capital is anti-American. I'm reminded of a friend of mine when I used to work in the intelligence community myself, galaxy far, far away, a long, long time ago. He was installing a surveillance system for the Shah of Iran's government. And it was right before the Shah fell. And he was at this on this island off in the Persian Gulf. And the Savak guy showed up to take him to the site, and he's driving his Mercedes down the road real fast, probably going about 90 miles an hour, and all of a sudden hits this poor peasant who's, you know, got his donkey cart and his donkey in the road. He sees the peasant fly into the field, and he says, "My God, aren't you going to stop and see what's wrong?" And he says, "No, he's only a peasant." But I get the sense, and where I really got that sense was that awful comment made by Barbara Bush in the Astrodome after Hurricane Katrina, when she was asked about the people there, and she says, "Oh, well, these people were underprivileged anyway. This is really a good deal for them." I mentioned that to somebody, and I said, "It's almost like Madame Defarge, who knitted during the French Revolution while they were chopping heads off in Paris." The person I said, I told that to, said, "Yes, but at least Madame Defarge could knit, unlike Barbara Bush, who can't do anything except she gave us, she spawned these awful children of hers and who we have to live with, and they in turn have spawned these awful grandkids we may have to deal with in the future." There's many other cases of suspicious deaths. I go into Cliff Baxter, the Enron official who was supposed to testify, supposedly committed suicide. See, the corporate media wants you to believe when they tell you it was a suicide, that's it. It's a suicide. End of story. I talk about Dr. Gus Weiss, former CIA official, and I talk about John Kuchel, the head of the Iraqi analysis desk at the State Department, who was apparently saying there's no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And both these individuals, within weeks of each other, they both came out against the war. Weiss, very interesting. He used to work with Richard Pearl in Henry Scoop Jackson's office. You would have thought he was a neocon. He used to be pretty hard on the Soviet Union. He came out against the Iraq War. Both these individuals, within a couple weeks of each other, they said, media said, they dove off buildings in Washington, D.C. Kuchel from the roof of the State Department, which is secured. You cannot get to the roof of the State Department. And Dr. Weiss from the roof of the Watergate. There's something about the Republicans and the Watergate. You just cannot separate these two entities, even with a crowbar, because the Watergate, of course, came up with Porter Goss's poker parties with Duke Cunningham, So there's a lot of interesting facets involving the Republicans and the Watergate. Even to this day, you'd think they would have learned their lesson once, but they obviously don't. Before I take questions, I want to read one thing, because it is rather discouraging when you think about how we've gone from past presidents, and none of them were perfect by any stretch, but when you think about President Kennedy and President Carter, President Clinton, President Eisenhower, President Truman, and some of the others, and you think about George W. Bush, I mean, it's appalling. But let's go back to our third president. And here's some words of encouragement. And they seem to, like, come across the centuries to us now. What he wrote in 1798 to John Taylor of Philadelphia, I feel, has so much applicability to where we are right now, a week before probably one of the most important elections any country has ever had on this planet. This is what Thomas Jefferson wrote. "A little patience, and we shall see the reign of witches pass over. Their spells dissolve, and the people, recovering their true sight, restore their government to its true principles. It is true that in the meantime we are suffering deeply in spirit and incurring the horrors of a war and long oppressions of enormous public debt. If the game runs sometimes against us at home, we must have patience till luck turns, and then we shall have the opportunity of winning back the principles we have lost, for this is a game where principles are the stake. Better luck, therefore, to us all, and health, happiness, and friendly salutations to yourself." And with that, I'll stop now and take some questions. And there's a microphone, if you need it, up here, so everyone can. So I don't have to repeat your questions, but maybe we can hear you anyway. Yes. Yeah, I've spoken at a couple of 9/11 anniversary functions, seminars. I spoke at the second anniversary at Riverside Church in New York, and 2 years after 9/11, I was pretty agnostic about this government involvement. I had suspicions, believe me, and any time. You know, I knew about the Carlisle meeting in Washington the morning of 9/11, where the brother of Bin Laden was there, George H.W. Bush was there, Frank Carlucci was there, all these people I had been tracking for a number of years. Carlucci, I didn't go into it because you can read it, but, you know, my suspicions about some of these players began when I went to Rwanda in 1998 to find out who shot the plane down carrying two African presidents that triggered the worst genocide we've seen since World War II. So I was still pretty agnostic. I knew a lot of things. I heard a lot of things. And from the second anniversary to the fifth anniversary, I came to the conclusion, and of course speaking to many people since the second anniversary, that 9/11 was a highly compartmentalized covert operation carried out to bring about a fascist dictatorship in this country. I see it very similar to the Reichstag fire. I see the same goals being implemented. And the Reichstag fire was blamed on the communists when, in fact, the Nazis did it. Hitler put through the Enabling Act, which tore up the Weimar Constitution. Basically, the Patriot Act and the Enabling Act are the same kinds of acts. They tore up basically constitutional rights that were afforded by both legal instruments. And that's the way I see it, because I think the evidence is overwhelming. And when you get even members of the 9/11 Commission saying, "We feel we were lied to and we weren't given all the evidence," I mean, I don't need any more evidence than just their comments alone. What will we see anything, you know, happen as a result? One thing I'm very encouraged by is the fact that some of the Democrats running for Congress that are either tied or leading in the polls beat the established Democratic candidate in the primary. And they have issues that they want to bring to the table. Bob Bowman, who's running in Florida for Congress, a retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, he's not buying the 9/11 Commission report. I understand he's got cancer. He may only serve one term, but he says while in Congress, he's going to get this on the agenda. He wants to hold hearings, and he wants to get people under oath and subpoena them if necessary. And you know, we had the situation with the 9/11 Commission, and I asked Governor Kaine about this at a news conference. I said, Governor Kaine, what about some of the issues that have been put off the table by, like, the FBI on the stock put transactions on United Airlines and American Airlines and Travelers Insurance before 9/11? People made a lot of money. I said, the FBI says it's off the table. He says, well, I think it's still on the table. And then Lee Hamilton, his co-chairman, said, I reject the premise of your question. Well, it wasn't a question. It's fact that these transactions were made. Kaine was also asked about minders being present when his investigators, which were all run by Phil Zelikow, who's, you know, he's a Condoleezza Rice person, right? He was asked about minders being present when they went to the CIA and FBI and NSA people and asked them these questions. And he said he didn't like the minders. He didn't like them there. And he said, are they still there? It's halfway through their commission. They had 6 months left before the report. And he said, yeah, we still have the minders, and I still don't like them. So after I saw the thing when Hamilton corrected him about the stock puts, I caught him after the news conference. I said, Governor Kaine, I said, is Lee Hamilton your minder? And he said, oh, no. Lee's a fine man. You know, I mean, but yeah, I mean, there's a lot of questions. Max Cleland basically left that 9/11 commission saying he said it was a load of you know what, and he held up a copy of Forbidden Truth. He said, I think everybody on this commission should read this book. Well, what was in Forbidden Truth? It was all the negotiations about that Central Asian gas pipeline I spoke about and I write about in the book. That's what he was referring to, and he was firmly convinced that there was more to it than what we were being told. So yeah, I think, now am I saying any government agencies were involved? No, but certainly people who are affiliated with those agencies were involved. There was just too many failures that day, and I think there was a lot of contractors working for these government agencies were involved. Realize one of the things that's happened, a lot of our government responsibilities have been outsourced to these contractors, and once you lose control like that, this kind of thing can happen, where people can interfere with NORAD and the FAA and the other functions that we expect to be carried out by government employees. In fact, they're not. They're being carried out by contractors.